be a little tan, yeah.
Good morning, my name is Ernest and I'm an addict. I've been asked to do this workshop on service. I'm just going to share my service experience. I used to be a service junkie. I started out, I had a sponsor, and he used to take me around the meetings, and he would tell me, this is what you're going to do from now on. Whenever he got rid of a commitment, I filled that commitment for him. And he took me to area once, and he said, I'm the GSR, but my commitment is up next week and you'll start doing it. And that's how I got hooked into service. I love doing service. I'm from a small town in Westchester, New York, where every day there was like seven groups throughout the week. And I had a commitment for each group. I used to walk into a meeting and ask somebody, what's my commitment here? You know, either I was doing coffee, I was setting up, I was the treasurer, I was the vice chair or the chairperson, the GSR. That's just how engrossed I was in it. I love service. Service is what kept me in this fellowship. In a couple of days, I'll be celebrating 39 years. I mean, no, I'm sorry. 29 years. I'm old. I ain't that old yet. And it's service that kept me grounded in NA. You know, service helped me take commitments seriously, whether it was in a meeting or was it whether at home. I became an NA policeman. You know, I go around the meetings and make sure that they were doing it right. You know, I'm trying to uphold the standard. And that's pretty much how I was always labeled, you know. Here comes Ernest, the NA cop. But, you know, service taught me how to give away. My core disease is self-centeredness. I only care about myself. What can I get out of it? You know, it wasn't about what I could do for you, it was what you could do for me. And that's pretty much how I lived my life. And service taught me to think about others. You know, to commit. You know, I did that wholeheartedly. I've served on area levels, I've served on regional levels, I even did some world service, you know, and all of it has been very, very fulfilling for me. I'm going to have to sit down some of this time because I have a spinal condition and I can't stand for long periods of time. For me, service is fulfilling. If you got a spot, well, my sponsor made sure that I plugged into service. And I always felt that if your sponsor's not doing service, or if your sponsor's not plugging you into service, something's wrong. There's a disconnect there. You know, your sponsor's supposed to instill in you the value of doing service. You know, helping others, giving to others. And I don't see that too much nowadays. You know, I see, you know, guys have sponsees or they'll have sponsors. The sponsor doesn't do any service. So the sponsees don't feel like they need to do any service. And I think it's a disservice to them as well as NA. You know, we really, really need to give what was so freely given to us. You know, I don't have any antidotes. You know, and I guess the only thing that I can really talk about is my love for doing service. You know, like I said, I've done it on every level. I've served on just about any committee that there was. You know, when I was with the New York region, I did conventions myself. I was on the board of directors. I've served as chairman of the board of directors for the regional service office, which was like a job in itself. I've had two sponsors that were excellent in service, and they both have passed away. So that's left me pretty much adrift and kind of lost. You know, I don't do as much service as I used to do. I don't attend as many meetings as I used to since the COVID. I try to now, you know, serve or even participate in a lot of Zoom meetings. I'm sorry, I know this is boring. No, it is. I was up all night playing poker, so I'm tired. As I said before, service just really helped me with my self-centeredness. But it got to a point when I was doing a lot of service, you know, like in my 15th year, I noticed something that I was getting lost in service. It wasn't about my recovery anymore. It was about just doing duties. And I got lost. And as a result of that, I stopped doing work on myself. You know, I became so engrossed in serving on a committee, doing a certain job or whatever, that was my form of recovery, and it just didn't work for me anymore. Sponsees, I've had a ton of them, I've lost a ton of them. You know, to me, that's another big part of doing service, having sponsees, showing them the way. Normally, when I do these things, I usually do some research, have something written down. I didn't think I needed to do that for this because, like I said, I used to be a service junkie. You know, there wasn't any place that you could go and not see me do a commitment. Today, I don't have the energy. I have medical problems. I have age problems. I'll be turning 71 at the end of this month. And just don't have the energy anymore. You know, there was a time when I felt it was my duty to make sure that people maintain a certain level of keeping the traditions and stuff. You know, today, it's like I just leave it to the younger people now. You know, the pandemic has kind of like helped me disconnect from NA. You know, I don't do the service that I used to do. I don't make the meetings that I used to meet. I don't have the patience for going into a meeting and seeing how it's run. You know, it's not my meeting. It's, you know, it's supposed to be our meeting. And that's pretty much it, you know. Every time I come down, I've been coming down here for 3 years from New York. And they always stick me with a workshop. I'm not going to tell them I'm coming down next year. I'm just going to show up. I mean, you know, there's nothing real glamorous about doing service. You know, there's nothing special. It's for you. It helps you stay grounded. You know, when I used to do service, I had a sponsee. This guy here was my first sponsee. You know, I mean, service helped me from not relapsing. You know, sponsees helped me from not relapsing. I could never imagine myself walking into a meeting and saying I got one day back. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. You know, but yeah, service kept me grounded. You know, I always look forward to doing service, giving something back to the fellowship. That's just how I was raised. You know, again, I don't have any slick stories or anything to tell. With that, my name is Ernest and I'm an addict.
Ernest, we're going to do a Q&A, so if anybody has any questions.
Or if you want to share your service experience.
You heard that. Anybody?
We can pick.
No? Nobody? No questions?
I'll ask one.
Oh, okay.
So what did you do on the world level?
I used to do, they had world conventions. I would just give them my name and they would assign me to, most of the time I was doing merchandise. You know, nothing spectacular. I've done merchandising and I've done registrations. You know, it's just a job, it's a commitment, you know. Nothing glorious about it. I will say this though, in doing commitments, I found that the people that usually are very successful will see it through to the end are people with egos. Yeah, you know, you need an ego to see something through in this fellowship. I don't know about any other place. You know, the bigger the ego, the bigger the commitment, and they're going to see it through. You know, I used to walk around, I used to have business cards and stuff. You know, yeah, I'm the regional chairperson of the regional service office. You know, I serve on the board of directors. And that's what it is. It's an ego thing that kept me going, kept me in there, you know. Sometimes it wasn't even for y'all, it was for me. Anybody else?
I got a question.
Yes.
You was talking about, you know, nowadays you see some of the sponsors struggle with instilling that service work into the sponsee. Like if you were if you were just getting into sponsorship, what are some areas of service that you would try to point a brand new sponsee into?
Starting on a group level, you know, coming in, setting up, doing coffee, you know, ashtrays, brooms, and chairs. That's what gets them started. Then, you know, as the GSR, the treasurer, whatever, hopefully that they've start going there long enough to say, this is something that I would like to do. This is how I can give back to my group. Yes. Do you want the microphone?
Yeah, please. Hi, Bobby. My name is Ben, and I'm a recovering addict. And my first sponsor here, many years ago, 1996 or 95. And yeah, absolutely. When I was new at this, and he became my sponsor, we went to the meeting over at Peekskill in New York, and he said, here's what you're going to do. You can stop making coffee. And I said, who's this guy talking about making coffee? I just came up the street to South Brooklyn. Are you kidding me? This guy's going to tell you to make coffee? He says, yeah, you're going to make coffee. You're going to arrange some chairs. You're going to sweep up here. You're going to do this. You go to the meeting, get here 15 minutes early, meet 20 minutes late after the meeting. And I was like, I kind of swallowed it because I figured that, you know, I needed to you know, to get some humility, you know, that I had all the answers, and then somebody changed the question, so I was left hanging, and I needed that sponsorship and that drive to kind of commit myself, you know, and that's exactly how the process started. There are folks who do the coffee commitment and then go on and become secretaries in the crew, treasurers, chair people, you know, GSRs. Others just do coffee, then that's it. They'll do the chairs, and then that's it. But because I had a sponsor like Ernest, who was dedicated to service, I kind of, without realizing it, I kind of followed his lead. It wasn't emulating, and I wasn't like copying. It was just, the more I went to meetings with him, the more it just rubbed off. Let's put it that way, rubbed off. So I wound up doing service in every level, in a group level. And then I went to Avery as a GSR. I did a year H&I, which was incredible. That was like the most rewarding service that I've ever done. Going to the institutions and hospitals and prisons and sharing my experience to and hope. And that did that for about a year. And then I did the level one area, the region. I was even doing the sponsorship down in New York region. The book before it came out, the sponsorship. Because I had some literary skills, so, you know, I used that to help. So, service is absolutely beneficial, not only to me, but to my sponsees that followed. Because a lot of them are still doing service as of today. They're still doing service. And these guys have, and ladies, because I've sponsored a couple of ladies over the years too, they're doing service on an area level. They've done world level service, group level service. So that's like giving back. Well, we're so free to me. And thank you, and I had a good time here so far. This is my first time here, so thank you.
My name's Joe, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Joe.
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 You touched on ego.
Do you want this?
I hope I'm loud enough. Yeah. You're touching on ego, and to me, the whole point of the service work is for humility. And I know how easily my ego can inflate, and especially doing service work, it will, depending on my motives, my ego you know, could get out of hand, I would think, or could. And when you notice some trouble areas, if you even had any with your ego, did you find, did you recognize it? And if you did, what did you do to kind of check your ego? Because it seems like a, that makes sense. Like trying to keep that balance between the point of the service is humility, and then you're feeding your ego at the same time. So it's,
I come from a strong bloodline. And the guys who came before I came had no problems putting me in check. No, I mean, you know, I would be in the meeting, pontificating, whatever, and one of my grand sponsors would say, "Yo, man, what the fuck you doing? You know, sit your ass down." So, you know, that aspect, Peak School was a strong recovery town. You really couldn't do much or get away with much without somebody checking you, you know. Anybody else? Like I said, I can pick.
Hey, we're going to, we have a question. We're going to do it over the mic.
Sure.
The mic, mm-hmm. So we can pick.
I'm going to ignite that.
You touched on that at 15 years you kind of lost yourself in service and wasn't really working on yourself. What steps did you take to reconcile that to get back to a point of where your recovery was what you were focused on?
Personal crises, personal problems that made me take a step back and say, like, what's going on? Why are you struggling with this? Why are you struggling with that? You know, I've been married twice in recovery. And my first marriage really made me take a look at myself. What am I doing? It made me take a look at my commitment to my marriage and stuff. You know, and so we come from strong bloodlines. You know, we have bloodline meetings and stuff where, you know, you talk about like what's going on, what you're struggling with, you know, and your sponsor will give you something to work on. You know, basically, you know, doing self-examination, you know, not just tripping through your recovery, you know, one day at a time, not really being self-conscious of what's going on, you know. Doing that step work. My sponsor, my first sponsor was a stepologist. I mean, no, he was. When I got up to step four, he put me back to step one, you know, because he saw, you know, I'm very willful, you know, I don't like taking suggestions from anybody, you know, so, and I wouldn't speak to him for like 2 and 3 months, you know, how dare he put me back, who the hell do you think he is, you know, but when I did get to that step four, you know, I saw myself in a different light, I was more conscious of who I was, what I was, and the problems that I was going to face. And I did face a lot of personal problems in recovery, you know. My relationships, you know, made me take a look at my relationships a little bit more. Because like I said in the beginning, you know, self-centered is my core disease. It really is, you know.
I don't think you need that, but did you ever find balance between service, work, and family?
To the best of my ability, you know, I don't know too many people that can juggle all three of those things. You know, 33 and a third percent all the way around. But because of the work that I've done, you know, I'm able to take a look at, I'm struggling in this area and question myself why, asking myself the three cardinal questions, you know, what is it, do I want to change it, and how do I change it? You know, basically that's how I do.
Hi,
thank you.
You're welcome. So in my area, over the years, there's been a lot of complacency around service, a small number of people doing the workload, basically, and it's kind of always been that way, and it also seems like it's the same people that kind of keep rotating through and showing up and doing the work. And I wondered if it was that way where you live and whether you've seen any success with getting more people to get involved and stay involved with service. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good one. When I was on the area, I mean, the steering committee, we just rotated chairs. It was crazy. Year after year after year, you know. From the secretary to the treasurer to the vice chair to the chair, and when our commitments was up, we just switch a chair. You know, it's insane. You know, I don't know or have an answer to how that's alleviated. You know, we used to have a lot of learning days and stuff. You know, trying to let people know about service and how important it is, you know, not only to the area, but to the group or to the fellowship. And, well, you know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it, you know. It's something that we suffer with. I mean, those are some of our character defects as a fellowship. You know, I don't know if there are any answers to that. I certainly don't have it. Yes?
I don't need that microphone. And I don't really have a question, but I am going to share my experience. So my name
sure.
is Jess, and I'm an addict.
Yes.
So I accidentally got into service because when I hit the clean time requirement for alternate GSR, my home group, they kind of like dope feed me into it. And I accidentally joined activities because my care didn't have a license, so I was driving to the meeting. So I was driving to the meeting, and I would sit there, right? And like, so I started doing service work sort of on accident, but like I didn't, like at that point I was willing to do whatever, even though it was kind of suggested. I was still like trying to put my toe in. I wasn't really sure that I was even wanted to be here, but because I accidentally started doing service work, I started to realize, like I started to make new connections. I started to talk to people and make relationships with people that I probably wouldn't have if I hadn't started doing service work. And then my life started getting better. And then I realized that I will never be able to repay Narcotics Anonymous for what it gave me. So I will continue to have to do service as long as I'm here, because it's super important, like it was shared, to like pass that down, right? Because everywhere, there's 10% of the people that do the shit. Like 13 people put this shit on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're grateful for those people. And like I tell my sponsees, I suggest you do service. But like, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. But I lead by example. So I continue to do service, and I continue to try to teach other people if they want to learn. But like service work has been, I've been doing service even though I accidentally started it. I have never stopped. And if I have, like when it was weird during the pandemic, like there was a brief period of time where I only had a home group commitment, and it didn't feel good. right? I didn't feel like I was doing enough. I have also done the thing where I had too many commitments, you know what I mean? And I fulfilled them, and I kind of took a step back, but I still had the one commitment. And so, like, for me, it has been super important in allowing me to, like, trust this process and get new connections and help other people, because the newcomer is the most important person, right? So, like, I am, like, at events and able to, like, show up for someone else. Because the first event I went to, when I had, like, a month clean, I think, someone else put on a Memorial Day picnic that I didn't have any idea what I was going to do for Memorial Day, because I had never done a Memorial Day and not gotten fucked up. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I accidentally joined service, and I'm just grateful for service work in general.
Thank you for sharing.
My name's Kim. I'm an addict, and I just kind of have to
Put my phones for the recording.
Yeah, we're trying to get this on record.
So I hope that it's okay. I just kind of wanted to, like, throw in a little bit of my experience with service work. That a lot of times I have seen through my years that people don't necessarily encourage service work for others. Yes, there are some who do. However, I think sometimes it's just assumed that somebody should know that they should be doing service work. And we're freaking addicts who didn't even shower and sleep. So somebody, we might need to tell some people, you know. But another thing that I found really helpful was to see this person is so creative, and they are, you know, they're just this. Hey, I think you would really enjoy being arts and graphic, helping out with arts and graphics. You know, this person is a whiz at math. You know what? A secretary position or a treasurer position would be amazing for you. And look at, you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to help people find something that they are good and comfortable at. And then, you know, helping them play that strength up helps a lot. And when we in a couple of different areas that I've been a member of, like, we kind of looked at that and we're like, you know what? You would be an amazing activity. We'll help you through it, you know. Nobody's gonna throw you out there to the wolves. It's a group thing anyway, but you look like that kind of person, and I think you would enjoy it. And see what happens, you know. Because really, sometimes people don't know that it's even an option for them. You know, we come in here so broken thinking we can't do anything. And service work happens to be one of those things we think that we can't. We're not qualified. We, all of those different things. So, that's all. Thanks for sharing.
Hello. Hello, Greg. Hello. Great to be here, and I love this topic. And for years I've heard throughout our service structure that we have an apathy problem, that addicts are apathetic to being of service. And I strongly disagree with that. I don't think we have an apathy problem. I think we have an attraction problem. I think I've never met an addict who doesn't want to help another addict find recovery. But I've met hundreds and hundreds of addicts who don't want to go to area, who don't want to go to region, who don't want to get stuck on a committee to where they just show up and hear the chairperson's report, but they're not actually doing service. And so one of the things that I try to do is, when I'm being of service, everything I do is with the intent of trying to help save an addict's life. What can I do to help someone find recovery? The last thing I want to do is sit in a service meeting debating guidelines. I don't give a damn about the rule book. I just want to say, help save an addict's life. And I think our fellowship has a lot of people in there that are willing to do it. In our area, we have a whole bunch of people trained in public relations and that go out into the community whenever we have presentations and booths and so forth, where we have to tell some of them, hey, sorry, maybe next time you can come, because we got too many. What we don't have is a whole bunch of people showing up to our subcommittee meeting every month, because that's like a commitment that they don't want to make. They want to do it just as it's needed and let them know. So I love the idea of task-based service, but at the same token, you have to have committed people showing up to do the service, to do the training, to let the new people know this is how we do it and how we maintain our reports and so forth, right? But when they say only 10% of the people do 10% or do 100% of the work, that may be true, and there are a lot of people that don't want to do service, but I'm going to continue to reap the rewards because I'm going to continue to do one, and I'm not going to sit in a meeting and bitch about everybody else that's not doing the service. I'm going to do the service and be grateful for it and share that enthusiasm and excitement that I have. And when I give reports, I'm very excited about it. I share with enthusiasm about how exciting it was to make a difference in somebody's life. You know, so anyhow, I don't want to debate guidelines. I want to help save Maddie's life. So maybe if our fellowship started spending a little more time doing that, less time on guidelines, we might have some more people involved in service.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Drew.
So, early in my recovery, I had a big problem with God's will with me. And what I found was, when I stepped up and I got myself involved in service work, it ties into the NASM, the good will, doing the next right thing for the right reason. When I did that, I found myself in God's will, and then I found my strength. And I was able to get back to a position where I've got some experience at, and I can really make a difference. And it made me feel a part of something bigger than myself. So, I just wanted to say, in my home group, we had a problem for a while. We were just filling positions to fill the positions. And that didn't really work out that well. But if you're new in here, and you're questioning whether or not you should get involved in service work, my experience is it got me out of myself and a part of something bigger myself, but also it helped me find my strengths. And I was able to do a lot of good that way. So, thanks for the share.
Thanks for sharing.
Anybody else? I would just like to share one thing. Billy, I'm an addict.
Hey, Billy.
So, just a little bit of my life as of late. I've heard ego mentioned a bunch of times already today, and it was kind of funny that I was asked to do this, to do service work, right? So ego's played a lot of harm in my life lately, and I'm very egotistical. I learned that when I did a step six. And it says in the basic text that, when we start trying to take back our will, that voice will creep back in again, and using will then become an option again. So I've heard that a lot, so I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Anything else?
All right, everybody, we're going to conclude this, and we're going to circle up. And thanks, everybody. Thank you, Ernest C. I appreciate that.